Greetings, cinephiles. Are you looking for a movie analysis podcast that stands above the rest? Then look no further than Collateral Cinema, the only movie podcast that matters.
We analyze good movies, we analyze bad movies, and yes, we also analyze the in-betweens of the world of cinema.
So if you like what you hear, find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And yes, my friends, we are 420 friendly. So when you listen to us,
smoke it if you've got it.
And now, here's a new episode of Collateral Gaming. The show starts right now.
I'm Ashley Chancellor.
And I'm Megan Gomez.
And this is Collateral Gaming. Welcome to Collateral Gaming, the only video game podcast that matters, where we focus on good games, bad games, and everything else in between in the world of gaming. We are podcasting straight from the United States, and yes, my friends, we are a 420-friendly podcast, so whatever you have, smoke it if you've got it. Welcome to our anniversary special. We are celebrating 5 years of doing Collateral Gaming.
Yay!
Yeah. Well, back since season one when my brother and I started, and actually, fuck that guy. I have nothing but hate for him. I'm just going to put that out there on in the public. I don't give a fuck.
Rake him over the coals, Ash. Jesus Christ.
I fucking hate that dude. For those of you that have been listening since season one, when it was Dakota and me, you don't understand everything that happened between the scenes, but...
Yeah, all I'm going to say is ruego a la quinta. I plead the fifth.
But Megan, you've been on for quite a while, I think since season two.
I know.
Yeah, season two.
Yeah, I think it was like the middle of season two.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we've been doing this all this time. It's great to look back. And this year we're kind of doing a special thing because it's our five-year mark. So we're going to be doing a two-part special interspersed with our regular episodes. So today we're talking Fable 1, and the next episode we'll be talking Fable 2. And the reason for that is that our very first episode, the pilot episode of Collateral Gaming, was Fable 3.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going to lie.
4 years ago.
It's a rough episode.
Yeah, it is. That's like a deep cut.
But, you know, it's there. I'm never going to remove it. It's always going to be there as a testament to how far we've come. And so someday, I think we will do a redux. Maybe for the 10-year mark. I don't know.
Oh, man. I'm going to be old and gray by then.
That'll be 5 years from now, so... But today we're talking about Fable 1. Again, kind of a throwback to our pilot episode. Fable is actually a series that I grew up playing. It was one of the very first M-rated, if not the first M-rated game games that I ever played. And back in the day, this was the first game that I had ever played that had like a morality system and was somewhat open in that sense that you could do whatever the fuck you wanted and it affected the world. And that blew my mind.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of games of the time were very like linear. So it was like, you know, if you were like, which I feel like this was compared a lot to a lot of other games, but it was definitely a little bit of a seed of its own. And it was kind of like, this is a controversial for me to say, but this was like a Xboxer's version of like a RuneScape in my personal opinion.
Okay. No, for sure. I mean, I can see what you're saying there. The Fable games are actually pretty linear in terms of the story progression, but in terms of, you know, the way that you explore the world and what you can do, you know, for their time, these were pretty revolutionary, even, I think, for some console gamers. It definitely had a lot of hype. I remember Peter Molyneux, the head of Lionhead Studios, he promised a lot with this game, and it didn't deliver on everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, I don't know if you knew this, but they are actually, I believe they're going to remaster, I believe they're currently remastering the game, or it's available now?
Okay, so there is a remastered version of this game that was released several years ago. That's Fable Anniversary, which we'll talk about. And then they are rebooting the series and doing a whole new game.
Rebooting, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I had seen it, but I didn't really, like, look at it. I was just like, Fable, like, what, they're going to release another one all this time later? What? Like, I was so confused.
I've been waiting for Fable 4 for years, man. I love all three of these games, unabashedly. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. Obviously, you know, there are much better games out there nowadays. You know, compare something like this to The Witcher 3, and I mean, it's night and day. But there was always sort of this charm with the Fable series, kind of this boyish charm, you know?
it's like the little brother of that kind of a sense of gaming, if that makes any sense to you at all. I don't know if it does, but it's like the little brother.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I want to do that too.
Yeah, no, for real. Like, and you know, it's surprisingly complex in terms of just everything that you can do and all of the different stats. And the games get increasingly more complex. But Fable 1, I remember, was a huge deal because of the way that we were told our actions would shape the world. And at the end of the day, you know, the overall plot of the game and even just, you know, the world itself aren't all that affected by your actions, but
it's still in the back of your mind the whole time. You're like, oh my god, what is this gonna change?
Right, you know, and also, you know, just the amount of freedom that you have. Honestly, one thing that I learned about Fable 1 in this playthrough, and it's the one game out of the three that I had never actually beat before, because it's quite a bit of a difficult learning curve, and it's aged quite a bit more. The controls are a little janky.
Well, yeah, especially after, like, the seasons that we've had, speaking of, because we're on our anniversary edition of just the games that we've been playing in this past, you know, year and a half or so. We've been playing a lot of big blockbuster games, and then you go back to a game like Fable 1, and you're like, bro, what?
Yeah, I mean, this is an original Xbox game. And mind you, I played for this, in preparation for this episode, the original Xbox version that I've owned all these years on my jank-ass Xbox 360 that the disk drive had stopped working. So I thought it was done for. But then I discovered that once I took the plastic casing off, the disk drive came out just fine. So now I'm enjoying classic games such as Fable 1 and Fable 2 on my Xbox 360 in 2024.
Playing the melted skin Terminator Xbox 360 is what he's doing. It's like you're like playing like the melted Arnie.
For real, I need to buy a new Xbox console, I know, especially so I can take advantage of Game Pass. But hey, it was possible for me.
Yeah, you can do this all on Game Pass.
Yeah, it was possible for me to play Fable in 2024, the original game, not the last chapters, which is widely regarded as the superior version for having a lot more content, and not the anniversary edition, which includes all of the content from Fable 1 and the lost chapters, but
yeah,
remastered, fresh coat of paint, but also quite a few technical issues. For a lot of people, I've heard that Anniversary isn't even really the definitive version of the game. You're better off just playing the lost chapters.
Yes, indeed. I played a little tiny tinge of it just to get ready for the podcast, and it was janky, bro. It was bad. It was not good. Like, even like comparative to the game of like when it was released and then playing the anniversary edition, it's just it's night and day, bro. Like, the original is so much better in terms of like how it works and the mechanics and things like that.
Well, in the anniversary edition, changed the control scheme to match the later games, but it also, you lose a lot of the freedom that you have with spell casting. And I mean, you know me, I'm a mage, bro, so I'm, you know, I like to have that versatility and the ability to quickly switch spells that I've mapped. And you know, it I have yet to try the anniversary version, but honestly, I kind of like the aesthetics of the original more, even as much as they've aged. I don't know.
Yeah, I just feel like there's some games for gamers that, like, no matter how much they age, you're going to continue to play it in that original version, which I feel like is, like, me for Twilight Princess, for example. Like, I would never play the Wii version. I would only ever play the GameCube version.
Well, Twilight Princess, I'll just the answer for me is the Wii U version, which is the GameCube version, but yeah, a little bit better. But yeah, no, exactly. I'm watching a playthrough of Fable: The Lost Chapters right now, and actually, it looks quite a bit better than my version of the game. I'm not sure if this has been modded or if it just ran that much better, because the whole point of The Lost Chapters was that it was the PC port originally.
And it came
with a bunch of extra content. Now, as I understand it, that port later did make its way to the 360, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it came with an edition of Fable 2 where you could get a bundle.
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a bundle, if there was a bundle. Let me see. Yeah, so Fable came out in 2004 on the Xbox. The Lost Chapters was released for Xbox and Windows in 2005. Okay, so the Lost Chapters update was also released on Xbox. And then it's been ported to Mac, and I believe... Anniversary is the 360 version. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay, that tracks.
And that makes sense. It's a jump from Xbox to Xbox 360 level in graphics. And honestly, like, I'm looking at this, the Lost Chapters playthrough right now, and this looks crisp. I don't know. This might be modded or something, or maybe it just looks that much better on PC. I don't know.
It probably does. A lot of games look a lot better on PC. Unfortunately, we are console users exclusively right now. So kind of hate that for us.
Right. Yeah. I feel like I'm missing out on a lot personally, but
I do too.
One of these days. So, but that being said, I played the original game in 2024. And let me tell you, it was an experience, but it also was a lot of nostalgia for me. So I originally played this game, this very copy of it. It was actually my grandmother's. My grandma had an Xbox 360 and had this game, which she played on it. And she introduced me to this game. I was in elementary school, I think, maybe middle school at the time. And the game came out in 2004, but this was quite a bit later, I guess. But so I played through a little bit of Fable. It was much too difficult for me at the time. But I remember just being floored away by the fact that you could be good or evil. I'd never played a game before that was like that. So flash forward a few years to middle school. I did start playing at middle school and high school. I did start, you know, and finish playing Fable 2 and Fable 3. And I played through those games several times over. Eventually, I inherited that Xbox 360 and the copy of Fable. Actually, I borrowed that copy of Fable, never gave it back. Eventually inherited the Xbox 360 console and all of the other games, so I never had to return it.
Oh my god, Ash.
Well, obviously she didn't play it a lot, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, she never asked for it back, and then, you know, years later, she just ended up giving us the console. Well, this is well after the fact that it was relevant, but it was nice to have an extra 360 console. Ironically, that's the one that red-ringed on us, and I just can't get to work now. It's the busted-up, original-ass Xbox 360 that my dad busted with a hammer once because he was pissed, that endured years of abuse and moving... and had its fucking disk drive just blocked by the casing somehow, took off the casing, and now it's just this hunk of metal. That's the one that still works.
Damn.
Not her 360, which was actually well taken care of and was in great condition when she gave it to us.
I mean, it goes to show you. It's kind of funny how, like, there's, like, obviously, you know, like, your first one your dad, and you know, growing up, you don't realize like the value of a, like how much money goes into a console. But like, I feel like there's two types of people when it comes to console gaming. There's the people who treat it like a baby and they don't let anything touch it. They keep it in its little spot. And then there's the people who are like, yeah, here we go, and they throw it on the entertainment stand and they just play their game.
Yeah, we were rough with our consoles. Like, there's no way around that. I put a lot more care into the consoles that I own now. I dropped $500 on a PlayStation 5 that, you know, I don't have a way to replace easily. So for me, obviously, I take care of my shit now. But when I was a kid, nah, like, I didn't give a fuck.
I am, like, such a stickler for, like, because I remember getting my first console and I was, like, I wasn't allowed to really have that kind of stuff. And then I got the PS3. Yeah, I got the PS3 because all the games that I played were at a friend's house. Like, they had the ones that had them, and I would, like, play them there. Shout out to the Bates family because y'all are the only reason why I'm a gamer now. but I remember distinctly, like, when I got my first console, I would, like, clean it once a week with, like, a Lysol wipe and, like, wipe it down and, like, dust it and be like, oh, my God, this is mine. Like, I was, like, so obsessed, and I'm still like that to this day. Like, my PS4... I go and get it, like, professionally cleaned once a year. I'm like, here, take care of my baby. I don't have time to replace him yet. He's a little old man. Be nice to him.
Nice. No, that's the way it should be. But yeah, somehow this thing has endured. This console is the MVP, and it carries a bunch of save data. Fun fact, my avatar is the King outfit from Fable 3. That's my Xbox avatar. And I remember earning those clothes, and we equipped them for a while on our personal advertisers. So when I made the Collateral Gaming account years later, I outfitted it with that little with that King outfit. I felt that it was fitting, especially considering that, you know, this was our first episode. Hell, that console has helped me through this podcast. You know, going back to playing Fable 3 originally on our first episode, and other games that we've done since. I mean. Sonic 06. I subjected this poor console to Sonic 06. I'm sorry.
Which is, you know, considering, and I know we didn't do a news segment for this episode, talking about it and looking back, it makes me sad that Xbox is no longer going to be making consoles, because it's like our children will never have this experience except for like the consoles that we have now.
Yeah.
They're never going to have the experience of having their first Xbox.
Yeah.
Only are they going to have a PlayStation or a PC or a Switch.
And the Xbox in particular is pretty nostalgic for me, especially the Xbox 360 controller. One of my minor complaints about this game, actually, using the controller, is if you're playing the original port, I don't know how they handled this on later versions, the whichever one was on the left, the black or the white button, on the original Xbox controller is mapped to your sword, and the one on the right is mapped to your bow. So the way they translated that on the 360 backwards compatible version of the game is that you hit the left bumper to pull out your sword and your right bumper for your bow. And I don't know, it's just backwards to me. The right bumper, since your character is right-handed, should be your sword. And the left bumper should be your bow, because as you're right-handed, you hold your bow with your left hand. So maybe they did fix that in later versions of the game. I don't know, but
maybe it's like a mirrored thing where they did like patient right, patient left thing, and just never changed it.
Well, I think it just goes back to the fact that they just mapped the black button to one of them and the white button to the other one. So. And I think they did it in the order of which one was on the left and which one was on the right. And those were face buttons on the original console, so it didn't really matter. But now that they're bumpers, it feels weird. It feels awkward pulling out my sword with LB and pulling out the bow with RB.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I've put quite a few hours into this game lately, and I still fumble it. But it's okay, because I'm mostly a Will user anyway.
Fair.
But I got to flex on them with Scorm's bow and the Sentinel, so...
Okay.
Actually, there are more powerful weapons than the Sentinel. It's not even that big of a melee weapon, but I just like the fact that I have the extreme good and extreme evil weapons. So, yeah, this game is flexible as fuck. And, you know, some of these issues kind of persisted Fable throughout, but this game in particular, you can go to a town, murder a bunch of enemies, score a bunch of evil, go sacrifice people to a fucking temple... And then you can just go to, you can sacrifice them to the Chapel of Scorm. And then you can just go to the Temple of Avo and donate a bunch of money and be good again. And everybody cheers.
It's like the line is evil, but boy, do I ride it hard, buddy.
And honestly, to get the best rewards out of this game, you're honestly encouraged to change alignment because in order to get rewards like Scorm's Bow, which is the most powerful ranged weapon in the game, which and you can get it pretty early on. And it's with Scorm's Bow, it's the longer you hold down the arrow, how longer you hold the arrow, the more damage it does. It just keeps getting better and better infinitely. The damage keeps increasing infinitely the longer you hold it. So you can just indefinitely power up your attacks, which is insane as hell. I mean, it's one of the ways you can break the game, especially because you can get the bow pretty early by just being really high-level good, sacrificing a couple mercenaries to the Chapel of Scorm, and then gaining a lot more evil points, because you gain a lot more if you're flipping. If you're already good and you gain a bunch of evil points at once, that's the only way to feasibly get the rewards that both temples offer you, is by switching alignments. Otherwise, you end up having to invest so much more time into leading people to get sacrificed and making money to donate.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense to do it that way.
So I did it in this playthrough, and I had a lot of fun with it. And you know, you could also just break the economy in this game. All you have to do is just, and again, I don't know how well this works in subsequent releases, but in the original game, you can go to just about any merchant, buy all of their shit and sell it back to them at inflated prices because the supply is low, and make money right in front of them. Like, imagine, you know, this man walks into your shop, buys all of your merchandise, and sells it back to you at inflated prices, refuses to elaborate, and leaves. That's the Giga Chad right there. We're talking about this 7-foot, glowing, hulking hero. I mean, what the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah, no, he's a big boy. What are you going to do? You're a regular townsfolk. You're just Bob doing his 9-to-5. Like, what are you going to do, Bob?
This is a man with the actual physique of a Giga Chad, and with glowing tattoos across his body, possibly with horns if he chose to be evil. And he just and he comes in to your fucking shop and demands to buy all your shit and sell it back to you. I mean, honestly, I don't blame them. What a Chad.
Yeah, no, be like, whatever you want, bro. Whatever you want, my dude.
And, you know, if you don't want to be evil and wipe out everybody in the town so that you can buy their houses from them, it's okay. You can just go lead them somewhere outside of town and let them be killed by NPCs and then come back and buy their properties and charge exorbitant amounts of rent on the new tenants.
I feel like that's your wet dream, Ash. It's just like, let me fuck these people. Like, I get fucked up my rent.
Well, you know, it's all about real estate. All right. It's about, you know, dating gorgeous babes and making real estate. I'm sorry. I'm making a reference to a shitposting group. There's a Fable shitposting group, and there was this insufferable guy, Robio, in that group. Also, one of the group rules, and I think this is just kind of a Fable community rule in general, is that in every playthrough of this game, you have to kill Whisper and cuck Thunder.
I guess that's unspoken.
I mean, you just have to. I mean, there's no other way. I'm just kidding. I didn't kill Whisper. I couldn't find it in myself to kill my childhood friend. But I did cuck the fuck out of Thunder. I married
Good
Lady Gray.
Love that. Love that.
And I saved myself for Lady Gray in this playthrough. I didn't get married to anybody else. I waited. Incidentally, the game is not very long. I think I mentioned that before. You just go through a few quests. If you're mainlining it, I think you could finish it in a matter of a few hours.
I mean, probably. It's not that big of a game.
That being said, there's a little bit of a learning curve. Early on, if you try to tackle on some of the side quests, you might get overwhelmed. So it's good to just go around and grind a little bit. Once I found that you can just grind and make all of that experience and enemies infinitely respawn, I mean, it's just like any other RPG at that point. You just make yourself more powerful, unlock new spells, or up your stats, and you're good to go. You can last a few more rounds and just carry a bunch of resurrection files on you. This game gets easy as fuck after that.
Yeah, at first I like when I, because I had never really played it, but I was like, you know what, I'll play it for the anniversary edition. Like, let's do it. At first I was like, oh fuck, because like I've been playing. Because I know we're kind of an anniversary, so I know we're not entirely going to talk about everything Fabled the whole time, because we kind of ventured off the path last year a little bit. I've been playing Horizon again because it's been 2 years since that came out, and Aloy deserves the attention because she's mother. She's mommy. So going from that to Fable, it makes your brain hurt a little bit. You're like, what?
You know, Fable 2 and Fable 3 were quite a bit more fluid, in my opinion. Fable 1 is much more jank. That being said, Fable 2 and 3 really did dumb it down quite a bit more. I mean, this is the only game that actually has any moderate level of real challenge. Fable 2 and 3, you can just infinitely respawn and lose a little bit of experience. But that being said, this game can be cheesed too. I mean, like you said, just carry a bunch of items on you. Once you get the heal ability and level it up a little bit, you're basically invincible. And just carry resurrection files on you. I mean, shit, I've never had to use them. I'm stocking up somewhere from like 8 to 10 right now, that because I just never die, because everything is a joke. In fact, I can punch most NPCs and murder them.
Oh, so you're one punch man. Got it.
Yeah. And what's funny is that, like, you literally do get taller and more and like more muscular. Like, you actually end up dwarfing most of the other characters in this game by the time you've fully maxed out your strength and skill points.
I saw that on somebody's playthrough where they were literally just like walking around and they're huge compared to everybody else in the town that they were in. And I was like, okay.
Like I said, the actual Giga Chad, but you know, like with devil horns and can use magic.
Morally great Giga Chad.
Exactly. Giga Chad does whatever the fuck he wants. He can have as many wives as he wants. Just kidding. You're limited to 6, technically. Because you can have Lady Grey, and she counts as her own. She sleeps in her manor. But there's only 6 other marital homes, I think, in the last chapters. And that's the max number of wives you can have, unfortunately. I think later Fable games did a better job by improving on that and letting you be the polygamist of all polygamists. I mean, in my original run of Fable 3, I was the benevolent king that saved everybody by amassing a fortune in real estate before I ascended to the throne. So everybody loved me. At that point, it was just too easy to marry a villager in each town. And to be fair, you know, I had a bunch of wives, so I at least had to make one of them a dude.
Fair.
I feel bad for the families that didn't get to live in the castle with me, though. They really got the short end of the stick.
Pays to be a Giga Chad. Why the fuck would you want all those people in your castle, huh?
Exactly.
Ah, here you are. It's been a long wait.
I am Maggot.
You can't stay lucky forever, farm boy.
My legs have been dying to meet you.
Your path is alone now. All our paths are.
There are unnatural things out there.
It's your blood next. Then I will make this world burn.
But yeah, no, Fable is insane with the level of of customization. And what I think was kind of revolutionary about it is that there isn't an in-depth character customization at the onset of the game. Rather, your actions that you take in-game change your character. Your character starts out somewhat molded. You're basically just generic teenager, right? But generic teenaged orphan that was raised by the Heroes Guild. But over time, you can change the way that you look and the way that people perceive you. Eat a bunch of food and get fat, or stay fit. Be good, and you'll actually get blonder hair and start glowing and get a halo, or become evil and get this monstrous appearance with scabby skin and horns. Be considered super attractive or super unattractive by citizens. Like, and also, again, as I said, as you pour skill points into each area, you end up changing your appearance that way as well. So while it Fable didn't deliver on most of the things that it promised.
It delivered on enough. On its own things that it, yeah.
Maybe it's not even fair to say most of them. I think it delivered on most of the stuff. But I remember Peter Molyneux was saying shit like, oh, you can plant a seed and in 100 years it'll grow into a tree. Like, shut the fuck up, dude.
No one fucking asked about trees, Peter.
Also, you can't have children in this one. You could in Fable 2 and 3. In Fable 3, you can even adopt. But, yeah, you can't have kids in Fable 1, even though that was one of the features that was promised. In fact, Fable the Lost Chapters was actually essentially the finished version of the game. I have a feeling that this... Not a feeling. It's well known that this game was actually rushed in development and was halted just short of it. And it's why the Lost Chapters supposedly feels like a much more complete experience. That being said, I was playing this game while playing a bunch of other games, and honestly, having just this bite-sized experience was enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that it's, you know, a more complete version of the game, but, you know, I feel like each... I'm trying to think of, like, how I want to say this. I feel like each game and the way that it's developed, like, says something about the developers, but not only that, like, each narrative of a story, like, be it feeling complete or not, or like what you do, like even just getting married and not having children in Fable, for example. Each one is different, and each playthrough tells a different story. Obviously, that's the whole point of a game, is to storytell, but it also just gives like its own unique experience. And I feel like, you know, you don't want every version of Fable to be the same. So like 1, 2, and 3, you want to have difference. You don't want to do the same exact fucking thing every time, you know, you make a game. It's not like they're re-releasing it 50 times. You know what I mean?
That's fair in hindsight, but I mean, at the time, a lot of people were understandably upset because it was content that was promised and then cut from the game, which again just goes to show that it's better to just wait. I mean, Fable was able to leave the legacy that it did because they were able to later re-release the complete version. But I think even the initial release caught on. Like I said, this game kind of has its own aesthetic, and I think that the fact that everything that you do in the game has some kind of consequence was also really a big part of that. You know, even just getting hit too many times in combat. Every time you get hit, there's a chance to get a scar on you. And that scar is on your character the rest
That's
of the
true.
Game. One thing I really dislike about it, though, is that every time that you acquire a new skill, you age by a year in-game. Like, if you go to your stats menu, it says you're a year older. And so the older you get, your character starts getting gray and wrinkled. And it's kind of dumb because it's literally every time you spend experience on a skill, you age up by a year. That being said, you can sacrifice a few people and get a few years knocked off. You can donate a bunch of money, get a few years knocked off, and that works out. I think The Lost Chapters even adds more ways to knock years off of your life, but that did kind of take me out of it for a second. I'm like, I'm okay with it having an in-game aging system, but making me older than my older sister and my mother by the time I get to them was a little much breaking the immersion, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that can make sense.
But as far as the story goes, it's not terribly complicated. I think 2 and 3 actually do have better stories. ultimately, I think they were kind of just wanting you to have this player-shaped experience, so they didn't focus too much on it. I mean, the story is basically, you know, some dude comes and murders your family and raises your village. You're raised by the guild, and then, you know, you can be good or evil on your way to the same story beats, you know, finding the people that were involved, ultimately finding out the mastermind, you know, and defeating him before he gets the mystical sword and takes over the world. That's the gist of it.
That's it. That's the tea.
But, I mean, and there's more. There's betrayal, and there's also the guildmaster. I mean, I can't, ever, even when I go to sleep, his voice never leaves. Hero, your will is low. Watch that.
Is that like Navi for you? Is that like your own version of Navi?
Yes. The Guildmaster is the Bane. Fable 2 or Fable 3, one of the two, actually has an in-lore reference. One of the books references the fact that the Guildmaster was rumored to be killed by the hero of Oakvale with the word, your health is critical, written on etched on his forehead.
What?
It's one of those things that's like, I think they mentioned, like, we don't know if it's actually true or not. So it's like a legend that came up hundreds of years later. Because Fable 2 and 3 take place hundreds of years after Fable 1. Although, interestingly enough, in the canonical route in Fable 1, I think, is the good route, because that's the one where Teresa lives. And your little sister Teresa actually becomes an important character in both 2 and 3. Hundreds of years later, yeah.
Which is so weird, but when you think about the aging and leveling system, it's really not that weird. But at the same time, you're like, what the fuck? Because they are, like, humanoids, so.
Right. Yeah, what are heroes? Like, they seem to have, like, long lifespans, but it's never really explained how long. None of the heroes from previous games seem to live long, so I don't know.
They're just not Giga Chads, that's why.
No, the Giga Chads themselves don't. Every single one of the protagonists doesn't survive in the next game, and yet other people have that were heroes, were able to live that long. It is kind of strange, but maybe he's being a Giga Chad by just deciding to ascend whenever he's ready. Leaves his mortal
and
form
Chad's
behind.
Done, he's done.
That's got to be the only explanation.
Yep, that's it. Ash just explained everything. He gave the infinite answer.
But yeah, I think one of the like the big things about Fable and why it appealed to so many people was just how much you can just break this world with your actions.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably like one of the biggest allures to the game is like being able to like it's a sense of control. Like you can literally control pretty much anything you fucking want to, and that's why people are so just like, oh my god, you know, and it's still, I mean, looking at it now, and it I guess it would depend on the version that you're looking at, but looking at it now, like, it honestly doesn't look or feel that different from like the butterfly effect-esque games that you have out now, like Until Dawn, things like that. Like it's kind of reminiscent in that aspect, you know.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah,
but like that's in its own like I'm an adventure, I'm a hero way.
Right, exactly. And this very much is the archetypical hero journey. That's what it is, except you could also be completely evil and still accomplish the same things by the end of the story.
Yeah, it's like Paragon Renegade. It's fine.
Exactly, right? So one of the only other game aspects, I guess, to talk about is the demon doors. These are a feature in every Fable game, and I don't know if you ended up opening any of them in your playthrough.
I didn't actually, but tell me about it, please.
Because I think, you know, with the Lost Chapters, there's like 15 of them, in total, and each one of them has a different requirement from opening. Some of them are much more difficult than others. So one may ask you to fight against, you know, rounds of enemies. One may ask you to do something horribly evil in front of them. One may ask you to marry Lady Grey. They all are going to have different requirements. One may ask you to eat a bunch of food in front of them and become fat. So And honestly, the rewards that you get from the Demon Doras aren't always worth the level of investment or departure from your playthrough that you're doing. But even so, they're kind of fun to unlock, and it's just kind of part of the sense of completion, you know. And the doors are just hilarious. There's just these giant, you know, stone-faced doors that have these weird demands. Some of them are necessary to progress through the story, but the majority of them are optional and just offer legendary weapons or high-value items.
Yeah, I think I only ended up like playing like 3 or 4 hours of it, but I feel like it was enough of a little, you know, like taster to kind of talk about the game, you know. And I'm sure I'm gonna get flacked on for this. I'm sorry, guys, that I didn't really play the full game. I've been distracted by mother. It's fine.
I feel you. I you know, kind of just for me, it was just a solid couple days of just playing nothing but this game that day. You know, just spending a weekend doing that in order to get through it, because I've also been swamped. I mean, lately I've been playing The Witcher 3, which we're still going to have part 2 out on, and also Persona 3 Reload, Apollo Justice Ace Attorney Trilogy, and Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth just came out. So I have had a lot on my plate that I've been juggling. A lot of...
we got homework, fam.
A lot of RPGs, I guess, but...
Yeah, we're kind of in our RPG era. It's fine.
Yeah, we basically are. But, I mean, it's kind of been interesting to play these side by side. You know, that's why I mentioned The Witcher 3 earlier, because it's the game that I was concurrently playing with this, you know, and also Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth, you know. So I kind of had my gauntlet of action RPGs to compare against. And there's something about Fable that, even though it's much more basic, much less polished, that just keeps me coming. Like, I can actually spend hours in this game and just have a blast with it, just pouring money into just completely changing my character alignment and just fucking up this world. And also just exploring, finding cool shit, trying out new abilities. I mean, in particular, I love the slow time and assassin rush abilities. I main fireball and lightning a lot, obviously, but, you know, I'll mix it up and try to kind of use all of the spells advantageously, except for the ones that are not aligned with my current alignment, because they cost more will to use.
That's fair.
And also just weren't that much more useful to me. I mostly played through this good. I flipped alignment to evil just so that I could get Skorm's bow, and also so that I could get the good rewards much more easily by being evil. And then I flipped back to good, and I'm already back fully good again. Right now I'm working off some weight that I put on just to appease that damn demon door.
Oof, it happens.
But, man, like,
Fable, the things we do to appease demon doors. I, of course, didn't experience this, but I can only imagine.
Exactly. But, you know, you got to do it for your fans, the swarms of adoring people that clap and have hearts over their heads every time you walk into town or run away from you in fear because you just butchered them a few minutes ago. But it's okay. Just go donate some money to the temple and come back and everybody will love you.
Yeah, it's like a current celebrity getting canceled and then releasing a nonprofit thing. It's what cancellation? What are you talking about? I was gonna say, or the YouTube apology. Just do a YouTube apology. You're good.
Exactly. That's all you gotta do. The hero just, you know, released a YouTube apology. I mean, man, they got the equivalent of Skype with the guild sill, and the guild master uses that to his ends. So, you know, you got to imagine that they've got some way to. Some kind of social media. I mean, how else the fuck do people hear about you the more you do shit? You know, it's there's got to be some kind of social media.
Just give a fake tearful apology. It's fine. A fake tearful apology is all they need.
And then they'll welcome you with open arms into their villages so you can exploit their merchants, completely wreck their economy, and then kill most of the citizens so that you can buy all of their homes and own everybody.
True.
I mean, you got to start somewhere, right?
Exactly. Where it's at.
Hero, your health is critical. Do you have any potions?
Listen here.
But I guess that's really all there is to say about Fable 1. If you enjoyed this episode, stay tuned for our episode on Fable 2, as well as part 2 of The Witcher 3. Megan, final thoughts on Fable?
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. You know, I only picked it up for a few hours just so I could, you know, play it for the podcast. It was something I would definitely, you know, check out a little bit later, something for like a palate cleanser in between a lot of the big games that we're about to be playing for sure. I feel like it would be a good palate cleanser in today's standards, and I don't know what they're going to do, you know, now with the one that they're rebooting. So I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with the series, because I feel like there's a lot that they could do. Maybe even like you were mentioning, like the hero having children or things like that, or what they're going to do if they're going to like bring back the same characters. Is like Lady Grey going to be in it like you're talking about, you know? I don't know what all they're going to do there, but for the couple hours that I played, it was a good play, and I liked it, and it was an interesting story. It was an interesting narrative. It was also like very customizable, like you said, and something that was not something that I'd seen before. So I feel like it would be something that would be good for people who are kind of looking to expand their horizons and kind of see, you know, like some classic games. It you can play it. It's backward compatible on the Xbox. And if you're not sure what to do, I mean, it's on Game Pass, so why not pick it up?
Yeah, it is on Game Pass. There are 3 different versions. Honestly, I would recommend Fable of the Lost Chapters, because from what I understand, it's the same thing, but with extra content.
Right.
If the controls or the graphics turn you off that much, you can play the Fable Anniversary Edition. From what I've heard, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's the same game. And as far as I know, they didn't cut that much in terms of content, if any, but I have heard that it has its share of technical issues. Of course, so does the original, but from what I've heard, you may as well play the original. And I don't know, I think it's blocky textures are kind of part of its charm.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of happens when you play a game, you know, in 2024 versus 2004. I mean, the game's 20 fucking years old, so we've come a long way in 20 years of gaming.
Yes, definitely. But yeah, if you enjoyed this episode, like I said, stay tuned for the rest of our content. We also have an episode on Persona 3 Reload that it's already been recorded, and I'm ready to release as soon as I edit it. So yeah, stay tuned for that. And again, Fable 2. And also, believe that we are going to be doing Nightfire this month. That was Zach's pick. So as long as we get through all of the content that technically I think we should have had out like 2 months ago, I think we'll be able to finish up. We're at the last stretch. But there are still quite a few more bangers to talk about, and I'm excited for that, as well as next season. Also, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, as I mentioned, we are going to be talking about that. So I should have the spoiler-free episode out with Andrew Orozco from Geek News Now very soon here within the next couple weeks or so.
Heck yeah, man.
And I'm enjoying the hell out of that game. It's so fucking good.
I'm waiting to find a way to play it. I will find a way to play it. It will happen.
No, honestly, you gotta, because I mean, yeah, it's a fucking banger. I'm excited to talk about it. But Bo will get a kick out of it. He doesn't have a PS5, but I'll bring mine over sometime later this month and let him try it out and see. But happy 5 years of Collateral Gaming. Stay tuned for part 2 and celebrate this time of the year, albeit a little bit later than we had anticipated.
I know. Speaking of, I just wanted to let you know this because I looked up Final Fantasy. If you look up Final Fantasy, you Google it, there's a chocobo on the bottom right of the screen, and you can click it. Aww. And chocobos run across your screen.
Dope. Yeah. There are
That's
baby,
adorable.
There are baby chocobos in the game that guide you to chocobo stops, and they're adorable.
I need a PS5. Somebody buy me one.
But yeah, you can find us on all major podcast platforms and on social media. You can also check out our Patreon. We have exclusive Let's Play video game commentaries. Bo has actually been releasing collateral Let's Plays for free on YouTube. Just small sessions of playing mainly arcade games. I'd like to add to that as well and upload what he's done on the Collateral Gaming YouTube channel as well. But go check out the Collateral Let's Plays. They're on the Collateral Cinema channel for now. And support the show. I believe on Collateral Cinema, we should have out our review on The Wraith very soon, as well as... our anniversary special or Miikeversary special on Happiness of the Katakuris. And then I think Lost Highway. So that's what's planned then. Collateral Gaming and Collateral Cinema are also going to be doing kind of a Naruto crossover here in the near future, where we talk about the last Naruto the movie on the Collateral Cinema side and Naruto x Boruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Connections, which just came out last year, on the Collateral Gaming side. And I'm definitely excited about that, being the huge weeaboo that I am.
That's adorable. And you're wearing your Naruto shirt. I love that for you.
Oh my God, I really am. That's unsettling. Oh boy. Well, I better go talk to my Discord kitten now. And my three Discord wives.
Sir.
And yes, they all smoke
weed. You can't be a gigachad in all aspects, Ash.
And also, I have a Rick and Morty tattoo, but I only allow the ladies within 5 IQ points of my own, preferably lower, to see it.
You have a Rick and Morty tattoo?
No, that's a copypasta, Megan.
What? Okay, I was like, since fucking when? You don't have any tattoos.
Wait, I have 3 tattoos. What are you talking about?
You do? What?
This one?
I knew you had the one on your hand. Yeah.
And this one.
Oh my God, I totally forgot about that tattoo. Megan Gomez, what are you doing?
Yeah, none of them are Rick and Morty tattoos. No, one of them's the kanji for shinobi, which is weeaboo shit. One of them's a matching tattoo with my ex-wife, and the other one's a ring tattoo matching with my ex-wife. So
it's fine. It's fine. Everything is fine.
Yeah, we're all good. You know, in Fable, you know, you can just add tattoos on and increase your attractiveness and your morality. You know, if they can cause that much influence, you know, imagine what they do in real life.
In fact,
I just blew my own mind with that. I think that we're about at the end here. So I've been Ashley Chancellor.
We're just rambling. Don't mind us. I've been Begging Gomez.
This has been Collateral Gaming. And are you just going to stand there like a lemon?
Collateral Gaming is a Collateral Media podcast. All music and game clips are owned by their respective creators and are used for educational purposes only. Please don't sue us. We're poor.